Healing with Raymond and Billy.
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 Healing with Raymond
Today,
and Billy.
Today, we are... welcome back. Welcome back to Healing with Raymond and Billy. Today, we are talking about spleen. Last episode, we talked about stomach, which is the yang channel for the earth element. And so today, we're talking about the paired yin organ and channel, which is the spleen. I think I talked about this phrase last time. The phrase that I was sort of taught to kind of remember the function of the stomach was rottens and ripens the food, rottening and ripening. Rottening in a good way, obviously. Like, I was watching some weird lecture one time and the guy's like, rotted food is bad on the outside, but when it's on the inside, it's okay.
Oh.
I was like, oh, okay. Sure. But so anyway, the stomach rottens and ripens, but the spleen is the phrase I learned was transporting and transforming, because it's all about taking food and fluids. So spleen has that function of kind of
TNT.
Helping. That's right. Sounds like that. Sounds like a cocktail. One spleen, please. But so the other image that I also was kind of taught about was to think about the spleen. If you think about the stomach as being the sort of the big bowl that holds all the food that is rotting and ripening, I guess, that the spleen is sort of the flame underneath it that's cooking the kettle of the stomach. So that's one reason why it's generally good to not overeat and to overfill the stomach, because then your spleen has to work really, really hard. So if you think about it, if you put just like one spoonful of soup into a pot on the stove versus like 3 quarts of soup into that same pot, the 3 quarts is going to take like a lot longer for that soup to get hot. So the contents in your stomach are going to take a lot longer for them to cook down. It doesn't mean it's impossible. You know, our bodies are designed to do amazing things. And so sometimes we like to feast on things because we're human, and that feels really kind of good to kind of feel really full. Sometimes I think, we get too full too often, then we also miss that sensation of like sort of emptiness and raw hunger, you know? So it's kind of good for our bodies to actually kind of experience both sensations. I mean, assuming that for the most part, you are in generally good health and balanced and things like that. Sometimes, you know, if you have an insulin issue or things like that, then you maybe don't want to mess with your hunger levels in the same way or whatever. So anyway, spleen is the flame that cooks the stomach. But so the other reason, thinking about that with the heating up of the soup, is that spleen doesn't love, is also, it tends to like soups and stews. That's the other phrase that I always feel like gets thrown out by Chinese medicine people. Like, oh, your spleen needs help. Soups and stews. You should, like, it's prescribed by, like, acupuncturists, right? Oh, my God. I should be, like, a stand-up at, like, acupuncture conferences. Like, I want to do, like, really obscure, like, Chinese medicine, you know what I mean, jokes or whatever. Anyway, I'm sure I bet that career exists. I bet some stand-up somewhere has been hired. Okay. So anyway, back to soups and stews.
SNS.
SNS to go with your TNT. So soups and stews generally tend to be, you know, it's warm cooked food and it's already usually brothy and broken down. So our body doesn't have to work as hard. That's why we give soup to people who are sick, who aren't feeling well, because then your body doesn't have to work as, it doesn't have to spend so much energy on the digestion. It can use that energy in the immune system to fight or to heal whatever it's you're sort of doing. So raw salads are kind of hard on the spleen because, again, the spleen has to like really turn that flame up to cook the stomach and cook those contents down and break them down. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean we should never eat raw foods and raw veggies, but just to sort of think about to make sure that the spleen has variety, because that's what I was thinking about too, is that spleen is kind of this funny dance of It really likes a variety of foods, but it likes them at the same time every day. So I feel like that's another thing that's kind of good for boosting your spleen, is sort of to have regular, reliable meals at sort of around the same time every day, and those sort of rhythms that our bodies like. So that kind of keeps our spleen functioning optimally and starts transporting and transforming the food and fluids in the body. That's my spleen spiel, Billy James.
That was great.
Give me your spleen spiel. Why do I always want to make these jokes that are hard to say? Tell me your spleen spiel.
Spleen spiel. My spleen spiel is that, I really like what you said about, you know, the soups and the stews and about it being easily digestible. I think a lot of times when I have people come in to see me, they talk a lot about, look, my immune system is really low. I'm really fatigued. I feel like I get sick easily. Therefore, the low immune system, the fatigue related with that. There's also, you know, I get a lot of gas and bloating. I have this kind of congestion in my sinuses that I'm not able to really transform, and it's just been kind of stuck there for months. What do I do? And so I think a lot of what my suggestion to them is the S&S, which is the soups and the stews. The idea being that if you can break down everything for your body so that you can release all of the minerals and the nutrients in the food, so that you don't ask your body to do that and tax your system to bring all of the attention to the digestion portion. If you could really just break it down and provide it to your body in a way that it really enjoys, which is warm, well-cooked, and soft, watery, then that is going to be able to be absorbed into your body, and you're going to get more nutrients that way. So that is really my biggest kind of digestion suggestion for people who kind of are going through these kind of, you know, really needing to nourish their body. The best way to nourish your body, especially in the winter time, is to have warmer, well-cooked foods. Some people talk about cooking vegetables for at least 30 minutes in some sort of broth. And that really allows it to break down. Depending on what I see with the person, sometimes I'm like, let it cook at least 45 minutes or up to an hour of cooking. You just put the veggies in a pan. You can saute them if you want first. Then you add some broth, put the lid on, and have it cook on low, and just really allow it to break everything down. Spleen loves it. That's what the spleen likes. It likes getting all that nourishment so that then it can provide energy and chi, which is that vital force that the body needs for all of the systems to work properly. If it doesn't have enough of that good chi from being nourished through foods, then it's not able to do the best job it can with getting everything circulating, keeping the body's functions normal and healthy, and the immune system strong and nervous system nice and steady.
Yes. I was thinking about how you were talking about the food absorption aspect of spleen. So spleen is responsible for like pulling the nutrients out of the food and then kind of converting that into blood and chi and moving that around the body. And so we talked in previous episodes in the large intestine bowel episode about if you have loose watery stools, that is a symptom of spleen chi deficiency. So that means you don't have, your spleen is basically feeling sluggish. It doesn't have enough energy. It doesn't have enough energy to do its job. And its job is to pull nutrients out of your food, but it's not really doing that. So food is passing through you. You're eating it. It's going through your stomach and small intestine into the large intestine. It's coming out. But it's not, you're not really getting any calories, you're not really getting any vitamins, you're not getting the nutrients out of the food. It's just sort of passing through you, literally. So that's essentially why, you know, that's, you know, when you have diarrhea, that's that sensation of food is just rushing through your body. It's just exit out the hatch. So if it's like food poisoning, then it's that really intense, like, diarrhea that cleans out the system. But if you have just sort of like mild diarrhea to an extent, like, you don't have the urgency, but you have, your bowels are sort of loose and watery, it's essentially the same thing. So it's not so much that you have like a toxin heat in your spleen that's causing it. It's just more that you have kind of a sluggish spleen happening right now.
Yeah.
And I was also thinking about, one, as someone who does like to eat, you know, crunch on certain raw foods, and there's certain things that I do like, one thing you can think about is just where you eat them, in throughout your day and throughout your meal. And so I think, is it French style that they tend to eat their salads like at the end of the meal instead of at the beginning? So I know that we sort of have salads as an appetizer is sort of common in this country, but what's better is to probably have soup as your appetizer, because then it's like you're kind of helping your stomach get hot and get ready already by giving it the nice warm comfort food that your spleen can very easily pull nutrients out of. Then you can kind of put your regular meal on top of it and then maybe top it off with a salad, which is sort of, your stomach will kind of already be fired up at that point. So your body's already kind of working hard and the metabolism engine is going. I definitely feel like the human body has a lot in common with like the cartoons with the trains of the like shoving coal into the fire. I have those like images a lot when I think about like my metabolism and keeping the sort of the fire stoked and things like that. Because I think we don't, we're not really in touch with our metabolic functions. You know what I mean? We're a lot of our culture, American culture, is based in like these sort of Puritan notions. A lot of sort of Western white culture has this sort of, you know, don't be greedy, don't eat too much, you know, everything in moderation, all that stuff, whatever, you know, all those sort of messages about fat bodies, all the sort of the whole spectrum of that. But you know, you also like our appetites and our drives for sex, our appetites and drives for creativity, these are all sort of devalued, I think, generally. And so, you know, I think about like, did I tell the story last time about how realizing, because of when I grew up at the time, you know, the late 80s, when I was like in middle school, you know, everyone was like scared of fat at the time. And so like, I remember eating, like, I was like, I would go to school eating a bowl of Cheerios with like skim milk. And like, in hindsight, yeah. I go back and look and I'm all like, that was like a 200 calorie meal. And I was like a 13 year old, like my metabolism's exploding because I'm coming into adolescence. Mm-hmm. But I'm also getting these messages because, you know, I'm being raised and seen as a girl. It's all these messages about what girls should do in their body and how much they should eat and not eat and things like that or whatever. So by sort of having all those messages mixed in with my worrying, that's the other sort of aspect that the spleen controls, is the emotional and mental part, is sort of pensive thoughts and worrying and that sort of fixation. So I think a lot of times like our fixation on eating and food and diet, you know, in some ways it's actually natural for us to always be thinking about food because that's how we stay alive. But I think if you don't have a comfortable relationship with that, people can kind of get, it gets kind of messed up and twisted, I guess.
I think that whole, you know, thing about the spleen having that kind of dampness and that weighing down feeling and getting bogged down and obsessive thinking, it's just that emotional kind of sticky, heavy, I guess going back to your cartoons comment earlier, like if you've ever seen someone that's been like trying to walk through like this sticky kind of glue type of paste and feeling like they're unable to kind of really move their limbs, it's that kind of heavy feeling. And when you combine that with, you know, the stress of life kind of, you know, coming in and seizing around that. That's that whole experience of your liver, the liver energy, or the, you know, as we talk about in the Chinese medicine, that your nervous system is really unable to properly interact with your digestion. There's probably something going on with your body's ability to know when you're safe and able to rest and digest versus when you need to be active and excited. And so all of these kinds of, you know, metaphors that we're using about spleen and it getting, you know, damp and bogged down, it all really has these kind of correlations with our nervous system and also with, you know, all of the little aspects to our digestion, like whether we're able to properly absorb nutrients because of either, you know, allergies to different foods, like people have gluten intolerances, or they have, like, you know, they're unable to process and digest certain foods or even get proper minerals or whatever out of them because of inflammation in their gut for such a long time. So that's really when we're talking about that kind of dampness and how that works, is that inflammation that can be in the gut can really impact the brain because of that brain gut axis. And how, you know, our brains and our guts are connected. And so it can literally have an effect on your emotional state. It's not like any kind of, you know, strange out there thing that we're saying. We're just using metaphors of this ancient medicine to kind of talk through those things and how we can work through those obstacles to try to transform them.
Yeah. Even today, when I texted you earlier to check in this afternoon, right before that I'd had this moment where I just was like, what I was working on in the moment, I was like, this is terrible. I fucked it up. I'm just going to just like, this is, I think maybe I'm coming down with something. I think I need to cancel the recording session. I feel really upset and angry. And then all of a sudden I like looked at the clock and I was like, oh, I need to eat. You know, like I am, my brain can't solve these problems. Like suddenly I'm feeling bombarded by problems and unable to solve them. But what had happened is I had, like, because of sort of daylight savings and kind of sleeping in a little bit this morning, and I kind of then ate breakfast kind of late. So I didn't really, all of a sudden I realized, I was like, oh, I never really actually had lunch. Like, so once I like took a break, like realized what was happening, so I stopped it. So I think that's the other thing too, is that, like, sometimes I think there are times in my life where I was greatly affected by my bodily functions, but it was other people on the outside of me telling that. Like, no one wants their girlfriend to be like in the middle of a fight to like tell you like, well, I think you need some protein or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? And so like that just made me like want to kind of fight against the idea even more. Like, no, my feelings are real. Like, do you know what I mean? I feel like people would use that shit. And it's true. Like, you know what? I'm sure that my feelings probably were a little bit amped up because I probably was had some low blood sugar, but you know what I mean? But that's not the best way to approach it.
It's like when people say, don't take yourself so seriously.
Right. Or like people who say, relax. I'm like, that's not relaxing. That just
pissed me off. Like, I'm not going to relax right now.
Yeah. I'm not going to calm down, but thank you. spleen. We were talking about spleen. I wanted to talk about dampness because you've been using this word dampness, and I realized that I knew what you're talking about, but I don't think we've really sort of talked about these sort of concepts in Chinese medicine so much. So we've talked a lot about these channels, and we've also talked a little bit about these five elements, but there's also these concepts in Chinese medicine. Like, I think we've talked a little bit about hot and cold as those being sort of things that can manifest in the body in different ways, both literally and sort of metaphorically. That's how we describe imbalances in the body. But then we also have things that are referred to as a wind, And that usually means it's changeable and it moves around the body. So that's the word used to sort of describe conditions that do that. But then there's also the conditions in the body that get described as being dry or being damp. So Billy was talking about dampness, and spleen is very much – so a lot of times certain meridians are more prone to sort of imbalances in certain things, and spleen is very much prone to dampness and to damp imbalances. So I think I talked earlier about like the spleen likes variety, and if you eat too much of anything, I think I also was, when I was kind of looking up stuff for this episode, I came across something where some acupuncturist said that we shouldn't eat the same meal 4 or more times a week. I was like, that's very specific. And, you know, there are a few things I probably eat more than 4 times, 5 times a week, but it's probably like a banana or some other stuff like that. I guess I do try to sort of mix up other things, but they were just talking about generally like, you know, to mix up the type of vegetables you eat, to mix up the type of meat you eat, to mix up the type of fats you eat. And obviously, if you can sort of eat with the seasons, that's good too. Although spleen generally likes kind of root vegetables year round. It likes sweetness, but it's also really easy to have too much sweetness. So So spleen likes variety and it gets bogged down by too much of anything. Too much salad, spleen gets bogged down in the digestion. Too much donuts, spleen also gets bogged down, but in different ways. So it kind of depends on your specific reaction to the sugar and the bread yeast. Like for me, example, I've tried a lot of different things. Because I was interested to see if maybe I had some sort of food allergy, because I'm prone to, in Chinese medicine, dampness in my head, which we would probably know as like phlegm or sinus headaches, things like that. And so I've tried different things to see if like giving it up for 30 days would eliminate my symptoms. And for me, what I figured out with my body is that I do just need that variety, and I just need to do certain food combining and also to not eat things sort of in excess. But the trouble is my symptoms sometimes don't show up for a day or two after. So I might kind of overeat a few things in the sort of sugar, dairy, and bread category and feel fine that day, and feel kind of okay the next day, which so then I have it again. And then it's like day 4 that I'm like, why do I have a migraine? I shouldn't have, you know, had all those donuts. But like, but I also don't need to go to that extreme, because I think that's used to be the thing I'd have too. I had so much sort of judgment and shame about my like love for dessert. And I just had to figure out like, what are the things that I can eat that I can eat more often and they don't cause pain. So, you know what I mean? Like, I love a chocolate chip cookie, but some nights I just maybe have a piece of dark chocolate as my sort of sweet thing at the end of the night, because that's, you know, a little bit more, doesn't have as many things that might cause that sort of, that dampness in the body.
Yeah. I, you know, I'm going to be a little honest here. People, you know, especially in my medicine, they're like, oh my God, the biggest damp causing foods are ice cream because it's cold, which the spleen hates cold. Right. And then it's sugar, which is sweet. But sweetness in Chinese medicine means something different than what we as Americans believe. Like, sweetness in Chinese medicine kind of perspective is like, you would taste something and be like, wait, that's sweet. That's not sweet. It's right. Like rice. Rice is sweet. And it's like, what?
Right.
Like,
right.
So they have this whole other level, but we have sweet at this whole other level. And so anyway, my point is I enjoy ice cream every night. I have like 2 huge scoops in a bowl, and I'm not ashamed, but it's not something that like you're supposed to, you know. Don't do that.
It depends on people's constitutions, right? You know, and so I think it's that if someone's eating 2 scoops of ice cream every night and they're not having any issues that could be linked back to that per se, you know what I mean? Like, there have been times where I thought something I loved was causing my headaches, so I gave it up for a month. And then I still had headaches. So it was like, yay, don't have to give up this thing I love. But also, still have mystery headaches. So it's kind of like, but you know, like that's just sort of what what part of owning a body is, right, is that I think we have certain things, like, I never really thought about it until I saw a friend recently, and I was kind of coming, and I had a headache, and I said to them, I was like, hey, I have a headache, so I'm not going to move my face a lot, but I'm not, it doesn't mean that I'm mad at you, because I tend to be a pretty, like, smiley, animated person, so if, you know, you see me for a few minutes and my face is, like, super relaxed, like, you probably would think that something was wrong with me. So it was, like, my way of avoiding, basically my way of, like, let me just go ahead and address this up front so I don't have to deal with the, are you tired, or are you look tired, or whatever, like, type thing. Right. Not that this person would do this to me. They're a lovely person, but so lovely, in fact, that when I mentioned I had a headache, they were like, wow, I'm so sorry. They were like super empathetic. And I was like, it's not that big a deal, but they were like, I guess I never get headaches. So it seems like this really, you know, intense thing, but I'm someone that, like, I think I've had headaches since, like, I was 12 years old. So for me, it's just like, that's how things tend to manifest in my body. So I guess instead of having, like, I mean, I do have a bum ankle, but, like, instead of having, like, bad knees, I feel like I'm headache prone, you know? So
yeah, I think that's, like, kind of the whole idea too, like you said about constitution, like, if your constitution is such, then it's, you know, that you tend to accumulate dampness really quickly, then it's probably a good idea that you have more foods in your life that counteract that. Or, like, for myself, I'm lactose intolerant. Eating ice cream probably isn't the best idea, but
do you take something beforehand or do you just tough it out?
Yeah, I used to, but now I'm just like, whatever, like, this is the price of my joy, like, I'm just gonna do it. And then in my life elsewhere, I will have more damp eliminating foods, and I'll treat my spleen pretty nicely. And so, like, I think, you know, part of it too is, like, life is meant to be enjoyed, and, like, these rigid rules about what you can and cannot do, or should not do, you know, I feel like a lot of this is about exploring what works for us and how it, once you have an idea of, like, oh, that's how I deal with, you know, some of these imbalances, then you can make decisions about, okay, I'm going to do this and I will go ahead and deal with this later. You can have an idea of what you can, how far you can move in the margins, versus feeling like it's like, I don't know what's going on, I have all this dampness. It's a journey is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why I like the idea of meridians and maps, and that's sort of the theme of this too, is like, so you want to go on, you know, a hero's journey. It's like, we're sort of, when someone gives, like, a map of how to get someplace, it's not the same as actually taking the trip. Like, every person that walks along that map's line is going to see different things and notice different things and stop at different places to eat along the way and whatnot or whatever. Yes. So there's still a lot of, you know, we just kind of want to help you kind of get a lay of the land to figure out where you want to go without actually saying explicitly, like, go here and do this and this is going to happen, because it really is going to be different for every person.
And I think the idea,
go ahead.
I was just going to say that the idea that, you know, when you look at the list of things that cause a lot of dampness that are listed in Chinese medicine, like, some of them are dairy products, ice cream, things that are raw and cold can have that effect, lots of sugar, processed foods, stuff like that. When you look at it from a more of, like, a Western perspective, these can also cause inflammation in people's guts if they have sensitivity to those things. And so the idea of dampness being a sort of inflammation in the gut, this also can apply to other parts of our body where we have dampness, where it's, you know, we might consider in Western medicine that this is arthritis or, you know, like, sinus congestion or a sinus infection or something like this, that these are, like, types of inflammation, whether low level or acute. And so this idea of reducing dampness just isn't about digestion. It also has implications for dampness throughout the body, whether that be in, you know, you might say, like, in swelling and edema, or, you know, water accumulation beneath the skin and joints.
Or I feel like heavy limbs, like when my clients come in and mm-hmm. they talk about they're tired, and I'll be like, do you feel like your limbs feel like extra heavy? And they'll be like, yeah, you know, I sort of think that's definitely kind of connected to sort of spleen chi deficiency. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's time to talk about where the spleen channel is.
Oh.
we didn't start with that. So
best production.
I know. No, I think it's every episode is different. You never know what you're gonna get on Healing with Raymond and Billy. We just have like a general recipe for the episode and then, you know, mm-hmm. see what comes out. So in shiatsu, when we work the spleen mostly in the legs, and actually we do a lot of stuff with what we call like the yin meridians of the leg. So the yin, all the three yin meridians, I'm gonna give a little preview of coming attractions. Spleen, liver, and kidney are these three leg yin channels, and they are all located on basically the sort of like the inner part of your leg. So if you kind of they start in different places of the foot, but they all kind of join up around the ankle on the inside of your leg. So if you take your hand and kind of start down there and kind of pull up that really sensitive inner part of your leg to your knee, and then the inner part of your thigh into your groin up to your hip bone, that area that your whole palm covers, well, you're kind of hitting all three of those meridians. So the spleen is actually sort of the top. So the spleen is sort of closer to the front of your leg. The liver is kind of right in the dead center middle of your inner leg. And then the kidney is a little bit under that. So it's kind of almost the back of your leg, the back of your calf and the back of your thigh. And then the spleen kind of comes up, like I said, to that sort of hip area. And it does this sort of like little zigzaggy thing where it kind of comes in a little towards your belly button, and then it goes out towards the side along the ribs and then up to the sort of point where your collarbone meets your shoulder. I think I know that meridian the best. I mean, I feel like I work, I mean, I know stomach pretty well too. I think I work stomach and spleen a lot, just because it's really nice in treatments to kind of, as a paired meridian, to kind of go down the leg on the outside and then come up it with the spleen. But also those points on the torso are real powerful, and I can do a lot of work in the channel with that as well. The spleen meridian starts, I forgot to mention that part, on your big toe. So the sort of inside corner of your big toe. And I know I used to do, when I worked at the acupuncture clinic, I would do moxa on that point a lot mm-hmm. for stuff related to spleen channel. Yeah. Will you talk about that? Why was I doing moxa? Why was that prescribed?
To warm the channel, I'm sure.
I think...
What do you think? I mean, I think it would be to warm the channel, right? On spleen one.
Right,
and
yeah.
Also, it stops bleeding. Oddly.
I think that's what it was. I think it was probably usually related to like menstrual stuff, like
cycles.
You know what I mean? Like people mm-hmm. sometimes like who say like, "Oh, I've been on my cycle for like 3 weeks." You know what I mean? So
yes.
It can be kind of helpful for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry, didn't mean to put you on the spot. What was that other doctor doing, Billy James?
I was not really clear on what was happening, and so I was like, I think it was this.
Oh, am I talking now? I'm talking now.
Totally.
Yeah, no, sorry. I was just, because I was thinking, like, when I worked at that clinic, it was like, you know, the acupuncturist would sort of prescribe certain procedures. So mm-hmm,
totally.
You know, that was why I was thinking, like, oh, let me toss it to the acupuncturist.
Yeah.
Whose client that wasn't. But, you know.
Well, it's kind of that standard, you know. Just for our listeners, like there's standard points that are used. Each point on the body is used in certain ways to do certain things. And some of them are, you know, very, we've talked about before, like stomach 36 for the stomach channel, the one that's like below your kneecap on the outside of your leg. There's that point, which is called the three leg mile, which is supposed to help, you know, give you energy. And so, you know, spleen one, for example, and spleen, I use spleen three and four a lot. And those are on the big toe, kind of in that more sensitive part of your metacarpal area.
Oh yeah, like spleen 3 is the one that's kind of like right over the kind of big bone, right? The knobby mm-hmm. area. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like if you look at your big toe, it would be the you know, if you look at your big toe, it's that big joint when you bend your toe, it just be on the inside of that area. If you press in there, you'll feel like a tenderness, and that whole little area along that bone coming towards you, that has spleen 3 and 4 in it. And those are both really good for helping the spleen with like transformation and transportation, but it's also really good for dampness, spleen 4 specifically. So I do a lot of combinations working with those because it seems to me that the spleen is related in a lot of different conditions, because if anything goes off with the nervous system, any kind of stress, somehow digestion is always impacted.
Yeah.
And it's a and its effects of the spleen. So that's kind of a go-to for me.
Yeah, I was thinking about when you mentioned earlier too, you were talking about spleen and stress in the nervous system and then related to liver blood or liver. And I was reminded of my acupuncturist friend, Elon Cameron, who told me once that she always thinks about the liver as sort of like the manager boss of the body, and then the spleen is sort of the overworked executive assistant who's trying to keep up with everything that the liver is throwing at him. And so sometimes that's sort of that relationship too. So if there's a liver imbalance in the body, then that can sort of then like push upon the spleen too. So so spleen qi deficiency, I feel like, is sort of it almost feels like a catch-all thing that like everyone who's ever been to acupuncture, like I feel like it's either like liver stagnation or spleen qi deficiency, liver stagnation or qi, like the whole world can be divided into, not really, but they are both fairly common, and they're both such, I feel like they're sort of you know, so much of what we talk about is how these systems are interrelated, so I think of them as both being these sort of just linchpin sort of imbalances or conditions, deficiencies or excess. So it's one of those that like maybe it is something else that's either causing it or it's having an effect on, but because those are just such powerful baseline sort of imbalances, it's a good way to sort of like enter into treating and boosting the body. Oh, I was going to talk about a little, so the spleen itself is located we talked about where the stomach is, where it's sort of on the just below your ribs on the left side. So the spleen is in that same quadrant of your abdomen, sort of the top left point. And there have definitely been times in my life where if you kind of touch on that area, you can kind of tap it or pat it with your palm or with like a soft a fist. If it's really sensitive, that area is actually called the spleen jumping point. And so sometimes in an abdominal massage, when you go to like a Western, not massage, an abdominal examination, when you go to the Western doctor, like for a general exam, and they hit that point to kind of see if you jump. And I think that it's about, that area is where a lot of lymph kind of hangs out. And so if you kind of stimulate that area, so a lot of times if it's feeling sensitive there in your sort of spleen, it feels tender to the touch, you can sort of do gentle massage, like you kind of go in sort of circles. You can try clockwise and counterclockwise, see which one feels. Usually I feel like one way will feel kind of ugh and queasy, and the other way feels good. Always go with the one that feels good. You don't need to go. Don't make you feel queasy. Like that's the right one. I think a lot of times whenever I talk about people about like stimulating points or massaging things, you know, they want to make sure they're doing it right. And I always try and like allay people's fears. Like you're not gonna like turn the whole factory backwards by like accidentally going the wrong way. You know what I mean? Like your body can kind of take it, and really like anything at any time can be medicine. It just has to be applied at the right time. Right. And so, but anyway, back to your spleen jumping point. So that spleen area is a good area to tap. And then another fun thing to do. So in shiatsu, we also work the hara, which is called the middle section or the torso. So all of these channels and meridians we've been talking about have centers that are sort of located in our belly. And so I can touch points on the channel, but I can also sort of touch a certain place on the belly that's the hara center of that meridian. And the hara center for the spleen channel is actually our belly button. So one nice thing you can do is kind of like rub your belly button like in a little clockwise direction, and then like tap the spleen jumping point. It's kind of like instead of tapping your head and rubbing your belly, you're like tapping your spleen. That's a nice sort of spleen soothing shiatsu that you can do. And then I also do that spleen 4-point we were talking about on the foot. So if you're sitting down on the ground, and kind of like if you're putting your feet in front of you so they're almost like sole to sole, the way you do if you're kind of doing like a butterfly groin stretch where you like have your elbows and your knees and you lean forward. And then I kind of basically that rounded bone on your foot just kind of right kind of go, if you slide down the bone into the arch of your foot, there's a real tender spot. I like to kind of put my thumb there and kind of do a nice little like little clockwise tender, and I'll just kind of work down that inner part of that arch of the foot along the spleen channel. Usually that always feels really good. Or I also will I kind of will like gently rub it back and forth, almost like you're trying to create heat. So that's a kind of nice one too. It's like just a real warming up the channel. And you can do that on your inner thighs too. I find myself kind of doing that to my spleen channel when I'm sitting down, like kind of starting at your thigh, like up and down, like just real fast, brush your hands and generate heat. That's a kind of a good one. So if you have been diagnosed with spleen chi deficiency, please try all of these exercises after consulting. Yes.
These are great.
Yeah. So do you have any herbs you would recommend for the spleen, Billy Jane? Cue music.
Food as medicine. You know, that's a really big idea. Food as medicine is a really big idea in Chinese medicine. And the idea that what we eat can really have a big impact on our healing, and that, you know, herbal interventions and other things come after that. And so I think for helping the spleen, one of the best suggestions I can make is to eat foods that are yellow and orange in color. So yeah, squash and pumpkin and, you know, all those kinds of yellow and orange foods are really great. Sweet potato is a huge one that could be really great. You could have some potato as well. Also, shiitake mushroom and reishi mushroom have been shown in studies to boost. We have them in the list of foods that are for boosting qi, but, and, you know, supporting the spleen, but they've also been shown in Western studies to boost the immune system as well. So if you want to make a mushroom broth, that is really good. We would consider that to be really good for the spleen as well. I mean, you can have that 3 times a week or something like that.
Oh yeah. I saw you making that mushroom broth on the Instagram.
my Instagram, Billy Jane's LAC.
Nicely done. I'm Mountain Zen Shiatsu, and I'm thinking about actually kind of activating it. I kind of post like a waterfall post picture on it twice a year. I'm not very active, but I might actually start doing some videos of me out in the world doing shake practice and meditation practice. So if you want to check me out on Instagram, Mountain Zen Shiatsu. And what was yours again, Billy? Billy Jane's LAC. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Which stands for Licensed Acupuncturist, in case you didn't know.
And we follow each other, so if you have a hard time finding either one of us, you can just...
Yeah. I'm sure both of us have posted our heads for the Healing with Raymond and Billy podcast, too.
You'll see it in
our profile. Right. So we were talking... So you mentioned... food is medicine, and that's true for all of the meridians, but the spleen really is kind of... Like you were saying, the most influenced by it than more than even any of the other meridians. So, but it's interesting. But then when you were talking about mushrooms, I'm someone who loves mushrooms in theory, but I do not love them in my mouth generally. I don't. I But I'm okay with the flavor. So like, so your mushroom broth, like if you made that mushroom broth and then if you pulled the mushrooms out and then I used that broth for a soup, I would totally eat that and I totally like the flavor of them. But then also you can do mushroom tinctures. So like if you are trying to get sort of more mushrooms in your life because of the good health benefits that Billy was talking about. But if you are like me and you don't really love mushrooms, you can either make your own tincture or look for those. I know I've seen them for sale too. Excellent.
And if you need to buy any kind of herbal remedy like that, like for example, mushroom tincture, I always recommend mountainroseherbs.com. Oh, nice. Because they have really high quality stuff and the price is right. So a lot of times. Awesome.
And they did not pay us to say that. We just don't have a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of my point, though, is I think a lot of people wonder, like, okay, so in order for me to go find a high quality tincture, I need to go to Whole Foods or a very expensive place and I need to get what they have. But there are also ways that you can do it. Like, if you go and look at Frontier Co-op's herbs and the costs and the price, they charge more for organic things. And so it's cheaper and the quality at mountainroseherbs.com is just so much better and it's organic already. So I just kind of go there.
That's awesome. But, you know, I have also sometimes, you know, the herbs at Frontier, you'd be surprised that if you kind of go in with a plan for a specific formula, and you're interested in making your own medicine, a lot of times it ends up being like, I'll spend like $14-$15 on herbs. And then I go and get the cheap vodka because Billy Jane's told me you don't have to buy fancy vodka. your tinctures taste delicious. So I was like, great. So I totally got the pop off or whatever with the fake Russian, you know, some logo on it. That was like $8.99 for a giant thing of vodka. Put all the herbs in a quart jar, probably only used half the vodka. So I made a quart of medicine. And for like $20, and that's going to last me. I mean, I've had formulas that I take a lot, but it still lasts me almost a year just because, you know, because what is, you know, like the big tincture bottles are 4 ounces, but if you think about those big mason jars, that's like 32 ounces. So I feel like I went to the herbalist like eight times over, you know, so, so even if you are just starting out and you want to experiment with kind of making your own herbal medicine, there's a lot of good resources out there to kind of get you started to pick a plant and kind of just start doing it yourself and see how it makes you feel. And the more you kind of work with it and the more you learn, you know, learn what one plant does, then you start to move on and open the world to other plants as well. So, all right. Anything else we want to say about the spleen before we close out this episode?
I think the what you just said was so beautiful, the way that you just said that. It just was like such a natural flow to the ending. I don't really think of anything.
It's nice to finally put this skill to use. I feel like I have this ability to like pull my string. I don't know, I'll just start talking about something. Who knows what'll come out? Just lots of metabolized things from all the pop culture I've absorbed through the decades. I'm sure anything that's come out of my mouth that sounds good, I probably stole it. So, as all great artists do.
Exactly.
All right, my friend, thank you for talking to me today about the spleen.
Thank you.
Thank you to all our listeners for sitting with us again today. And we look forward to seeing you next time in episode 5. What comes up for spleen? I don't remember.
I was thinking about this the other day.
You keep asking way too much of me, and I don't know how to say. You keep asking way too much of me, and I don't know how to say.